morning's reading is taken from Luke 12, 13 to 21, and it can be found on page 1044 of the Church Bibles. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord.
Pray for Liz as she brings God's word to us. Through the written word and through Liz's spoken word, may we hear the living word. We ask for a special blessing now on Liz as she brings that word to us. Amen. Amen.
So, folks, what's wrong with storing stuff? Who hasn't got a garage or a loft or a cupboard full of stuff? I keep all my shoes in the shoe boxes. And my granddaughter opened my cupboard one day and she said, "Grandma, there's more shoes in here than there is in a shoe shop." I've got a button box that was my mother's and she died 50 years ago. And I've still got that button box and I add buttons when I buy something new. If it's got a spare button, it goes in that box. And I never, ever use them. We store things, don't we, in case they come in handy, or we store things for sentimental value, all manner of reasons why we store possessions, even though we can't even take one button to heaven. Our biggest problem is not what we've stored in our cupboards, and nor was it with this man with his grain. Our biggest problem is what is stored in here. Jesus called this man a fool, not because he was rich. He'd worked hard, I would imagine, for all the stuff that he'd stored. But when we look at those verses from verse 17, he says, he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. I'll store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy,' and so on." So he's got more grain and goods stored than he could ever hope to use. And his security was in that. He said it was all about I. He worshipped himself. Now, before you sit there and think, "Ha, I don't worship myself. I don't worship my shoes. I just thank God I got two legs to put in them and that I can get about." But every time you or I talk about somebody behind their back, we're worshiping self. We're certainly not putting God first. Every time we don't put the trolley back when we've done our shopping in Tesco's, we're serving self. Every time we worry, we're serving self. Worry, Jesus said, "Do not worry." He didn't say it's a good idea not to. It was a command that we should not worry. We're all stewards, whatever we've got, whether it's our wealth, our talent, our abilities, and there's nothing wrong with having goods, storing goods. The farmer and the people today work hard for what they've got. The big mistake is thinking that it's all about us. Now, our thinking, we all think, we're thinking all the time, and thoughts go through our mind at 1,500 words a minute. And many years ago, I used to do shorthand, and I can remember getting a certificate for 100 words a minute. So I'm probably speaking to you maybe a bit more than that, because he's going to the Creation Fest and he says, don't hang about. So I may be speaking 130 words a minute or more. But our thoughts, they're going on round and round at 1,500 words a minute. So we need to consider the way that we think, because what we think determines what we say, and what we say determines what we believe, and what we believe, then we do. There's a lovely scripture that says, take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. But that's not the verse I'm going to use today. It's the second verse that I learned, and if Roger's sitting in here, he will know the first verse that I ever learned, because I often say it in our prayers. We can make our plans, God determines the path. But the verse that I've chosen to go with this passage today is from Proverbs 4, verse 23, and it's in the Good News Bible. When I was first converted, I used for many years the Good News Bible, which says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, if Jesus is your Lord, if you have made a commitment to follow Jesus and he lives in your heart by faith, you know that you are saved. And the rest of our lives should be, it's dependent on how we think. Because we come into that personal relationship with the Lord. He knows everything about us. We don't know him. When we come to know him by faith, the way we get to know him is through his word. And the more we know of his word, the more we know of him, the more we find out how much we're loved by him, the more our security is found in him. This poor farmer had no idea of this. He thought that his security was in the things that he'd stored in his barns. Our lives go the way we think. And we want our life nearer to God next week than it was this week. God's hand, recognizing that in every area, even in the smallest things of our lives, will help keep our minds on track. There's lots of illustrations in the Bible. You could think of anybody in the Bible and you will see that what they did depended on their first thoughts that went on to what they believed. Think of Judas and what he thought. He thought he'd give Jesus a hand, a bit of a hand to help get them released from the tyranny of the Romans. But he finished up committing suicide. The woman who, with an issue of blood, she'd thought that if I spend money on getting well, our blood will stop flowing. And she spent all her money by going to different people. She thought, I'll go to this one. And then she heard of another one until she heard of Jesus. And then she touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. She thought through that crowd, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. Do we realize how important words are? They either bless or they blister. The whole of creation was formed through words. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Words have power of life or death. That's what the Bible says. That's in Proverbs. We eat our words. We store up worry in our mind, and that's words that we tell ourselves. The same part of our brain that worries is the same part that meditates on the Word of God. When I was, I don't know for sure, but 10 or 12, I'm one of five children, three older brothers and a younger sister, we were invited to my eldest brother's future in-laws. And I can remember it as if it was yesterday, and I would have been about 10 years old. I can remember the father of the future bride, my brother's wife. He leaned on a mantelpiece, and he said to my mum, he pointed to my sister, and he said, "She'll lose her weight." And he pointed to me, and he said, "She'll always be fat." Now, I was fat. My mum used to say I was too fat to stand up and I couldn't walk until I was two. And I was, that those words that that man spoke had a profound effect on me. And I, any diet that you've heard of, I've done it. I spent my years yo-yo dieting, trying to lose weight, putting it back on again, until I came to faith. And then I discussed it with Jesus and looked in the scriptures. You know, I used to look in the scriptures to find answers. Nowadays, you can pick up your phone and you can just say to it, "Where in the Bible does it say I'm going to be fat?" And you won't find that answer. There's a verse in the scripture for every problem that we'll ever encounter. 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I can't remember, because it's 15 years ago, exactly what the surgeon said, but it was along the lines of, "I don't know how long you'll have to live." They weren't his exact words, but that's what he meant, because I remember thinking, "I've got eternal life." And I went, this was in December, I had an operation in the January. So in those few weeks, I searched the scriptures for words of encouragement about my life. The one that I remember in particular is in Psalm 16. "The boundary lines have been set for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Those words, whatever the doctor says or anybody else says, the Word of God trumps every other person's words. I can remember standing up in the church before I went to the hospital for the operation and saying that when that cancer was growing there, in secret, nobody knew it was there. The devil was in control. He works in the dark. The day that came to light, God took control. God's timing is perfect. So I didn't care where the cancer, whether it had spread, whether it was confined or what, because I knew that his timing was perfect and I was secure in the knowledge that I had eternal life. So whatever your negative opinion of yourself or your situation, there's a scriptural truth that will cut through it to set you free. If only that rich farmer had thought to himself that God provided the sunshine and the rain for my crops. God's given me the health. He provided my workers. If only he just changed the way that he was thinking, his life would have been so different. We need to exalt God's word above everything. Anybody else's opinion, the way we feel, what the world says. Because God is speaking all the time. But 9 times out of 10, we're not on the same wavelength. If you wanted to listen to John Humphreys on Radio 4, you wouldn't switch on Radio 2 and sit down and wait for John Humphreys to come on. It'd be a stupid thing to do, wouldn't it? And yet, we take notice of how we feel, what we see, and what we hear, rather than tune in to what the Word of God says, what he's saying. Adam and Eve had a wonderful relationship with God. They walked with him, they talked with him in the cool of the evening, the Bible says, until they sinned. And then all of a sudden, they lost that sixth sense, which was faith, and they were aware. The Bible says they were aware that they were naked. They all of a sudden, their touch, sight, smell, hearing, taste came to the fore, and they lost that sixth sense, that spiritual awareness of their relationship with God. And God has been in the business ever since to enable us to restore that, to get that relationship restored with him. The mind is a battlefield. Satan wants to rule, self wants to rule, God wants to rule. And we know the scripture that says you cannot serve two masters. You love one and hate the other. We obey our dominant thoughts, and when they line up with scripture, always, 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 we are in a win-win situation. In a nutshell, folks, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Don't say, Lord, I've got no peace. If God lives in you by his spirit, you have all his character traits: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. Don't ask him for it, just ask him where it is. I have a friend, lives in a four-bedroom house, got a double garage, lives on her own. Her garage is full of stuff. I stayed with her not long ago, and she put a duvet on and didn't have a matching pillow. And she said, there is a pillow in my airing cupboard somewhere. I opened the airing cupboard door and all this stuff. There was a pillowcase in there, but you couldn't see it anywhere. And that's the same with us, with our mind. There's a scripture in there. There's love in there. There's joy in there. But it can be crushed by all the stuff that we've thought and believed throughout our lives. We need to get rid of that. We need to say to Jesus, it's time I started realizing that I'm a spirit being. We're a spirit. Was it Watchman Nee when he was asked, do you have the Holy Spirit? He said, no, I am a spirit. I live in a body. You know, we're made of spirit, mind, and body. Our body's not a leader. It's a follower. Whatever you tell it, it'll do. If we don't need to, if we feel tired, just or hungry or whatever, we don't have to just do what the body says. We need to do what the Word of God says. It would make such a difference if we learned to put the Word of God, give it priority in our lives. Because losing the sense of Jesus' presence, it gives Satan an inroad. It just lets him into our lives. But we know from the Word of God that the life controlled by the Spirit is peace. You know, don't say in your prayers, go with us today. He's with us all the time. Thank him that he's with you. Thank him that you've got joy, even though you can't feel it at the minute. Ask him to show you all that stuff that's in your mind that's got in the way, that submerged joy at the bottom. Same with love. If there's somebody you can't love, ask the Lord why, because his love is in you to give to everyone. The choice is ours. We just got to reprogram. We don't have to have a degree. We don't have to be, what's the Bible say, that he came to shame the wise. He calls things that are not as though they were. We're in a win-win situation every time we stop worrying, concentrating on our circumstances, look in the Word of God, find the answer. The Word of God trumps every other word every single time. We're going to leave all our stuff behind the day we die. But we can be prepared mentally. We can give some away now in readiness. The farmer could have given away what he had stored in his barns. He could have given it away now in readiness for eternal life. I'm going to finish now because I've had my 20 minutes. And please remember, get to know the Word of God. Nothing can compare with it. And whenever your mind wanders, bring it back. When you go to bed tonight, say to the Lord, or say to your mind rather, where have you been today? You think about where your mind has been all day, thinking that your thoughts are racing around at 1,500 words a minute, and see how much God came into it. Bless you all.